I don't think I've had a pleasure of speaking to you before.
Yes, I just got it as I was out of Marshall.
Yeah, how'd you know that? I didn't tell you.
I know.
Recognize your voice?
You recognize
me. I have your voice on the paper for
that. By the time I come to speak to you through this box, Langdon, you know.
What's that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You're a lot of strange, and, you know, I suppose eventually I'll be able to manage to talk to you better than you. You know, I'm very curious what you just saying about passing over.
Yes.
Well, you know, various people have various experiences and their reactions are different according to their personality and character and their knowledge before they come. And I suppose everyone comes through. But they were able to tell you about their experiences, and they come here first of all, they all have more or less a different story to tell. For what applies to one may not apply to another. Personally, I had a little experience with such a before I passed, but I wasn't really convinced. I stayed with a few mediums, you know, but at the same time, I had an open mind, and I believe in the life after death.
Yeah.
Oh, I met a crowd of people here, people I've known in the profession, people that I've been attached to during life.
When did you first talk of this? Did you find him? Did you find him just,
Well, I wouldn't say similar exactly in certain respects. You might say similar as far as nature was concerned, but, I certainly didn't see any shops, I didn't see any factories, I didn't see any street cars and automobiles and all that kind of thing. But then again, I understand on those things where the absolute things exist. Everything's a matter of state of mind of the people that inhabit that particular place. So when I came here, I remember quite well waking up in a kind of, well, I can only describe it as a beautiful garden. Not unlike a garden that I've been very fond of in my youth. No, and my mother, father, were there. And when I opened my eyes, there was my mother just as I remember her when she was a much younger woman. It was a wonderful experience. Then a crowd of other friends came, they themselves known to me, people that I'd known in my earlier years. Strangely enough, you know, it seemed in my first experience that I've known people that I've known way back when I was quite a young lad.
Yes,
well, that is that in some kind of subconscious way, my thoughts had always been in my earlier years. But you know, as I began to get older, I had a crotchety leg, trouble one way and another, and I often used to sort of daydream back into my youth, you know. And I guess as I passed over my last remaining earthly thoughts were to do with my earlier years. In consequence, it seemed to attract the people around me on this side, that is, that I'd known during that period of my life, which was in many ways a very shorty one. And also maybe I think possibly that during the closing weeks of my life, those particular people, including my father and mother in particular, came very close to me, which of course would be quite natural. And also I have a dog here that I've never fooled of. As anyone told me years ago when I got out to the Emerald in this dark together, oh, I was pretty broad-minded about these things, I wouldn't have believed that. But I didn't really believe the dogs and cats and horses and animals, even though they were a pet. And in a sort of soul, although I knew that they had great character and individuality, and that they differed very much one from another according to the individual and the people who look after it and so on. Because I have a realization now that we are very much responsible for the animal kingdom, that they depend a great deal more on us than we realize. And they take something away from us, too, when they leave us, you know. We help them a great deal more than perhaps we realize.
Yes.
I don't know if you can hear it at all.
Yes, we're very glad.
Hopefully you can hear me.
I've got a record again, but we're going down.
Oh, yeah, you have a record.
Yes.
Okay. Because, you know, I haven't found a John with me.
Yes, I know, yeah.
I'll never always hit it up on that. We get on very well here.
Okay.
How do you spend your life on that side? What do you do?
Well, I'm still increasing the theater and We do care that things are pushing parted or going away. It's not exactly that. Everything we do here has a motive, has a purpose, has a play or it's produced, and everything that is achieved or done here has a new purpose. Not only just to give people pleasure and entertainment, which of course they do, but there's a morale in everything that we do here. For instance, we take down kind of plays, if you call plays, morality plays more, perhaps. But by that, I don't mean to say that down in books. They're very entertaining and very interesting, and we take them down into the lower sphere and reproduce the lives of certain individuals that we may have seen in the audience. And we can read their horrors and we know exactly their lives and why they're in that particular condition. So we perhaps will portray excerpts in the lives of individuals. And only the person there will know that it's his life that's being portrayed. But in so doing, it helps that person to see themselves as they really are, and in consequence, they begin to think more deeply, and it helps them because sort themselves out and desire a better existence.
That's a good psychological.
Sure, that's what we're trying to do. We do. Yeah. Everything we do here must be done from the heart. It must be sincere. Yeah. And if ever we do a play, such as I've been trying to explain to you, we do it with the hope that it will help someone to rise above themselves. We try and point out why they're in that situation in which they find themselves. And we also give an added thrust, you might say, to it by also portraying certain aspects of our own lives which they could have and achieve if they set about doing it. Everything we do here, there's a reason. Nothing is done just idly. We do everything that has purpose and point to it. Especially in regard to the theater, which I'm discussing now. And it flows the field and the crowd of others here who still produce plays and still produce what you call a kind of extravaganza. Mm-hmm. At least open the release to employ the stage, you know. But by that, I don't necessarily mean to say a kind of folie légère. I don't mean that exactly, but women do play parts and they do. If you're only here, you've got to realize that we have no sort of false ideas about one's appearance and one's clothing and all that of it. Here we are completely and absolutely free of all the old things on earth that sort of, well, made us rather perhaps high-bound or narrow-minded. Here we treat nature in the true sense in the right way. Here we are very conscious of the great gifts that have been bestowed upon us in every sense, in every way. Those types of people here find all sorts of interesting work to do, and well, some here that create beautiful clothes, designs, others who design beautiful pictures, or perhaps maybe scenery that they create for our plays, and others who compose great music. I've heard music here that far removed than you've ever heard on earth. Orchestras numbering things, hundreds of people, and each one an artist in his own way, in his own right. Here some of the great composers are composing new work. So magnificent that I couldn't even begin to tell you how magnificent the sound is. And you know that even in their work there's a great reason and purpose. You know, as they're playing their great work here, you can see in the atmosphere all changing lights and colors.
I got that.
It's the most magnificent sight. Oh, I could go and tell you all kinds of things.
That's very interesting.
Very interesting.
Yes. What sort of pictures are? What sort of pictures like? Are they like the pictures on Earth?
Yeah, some are very like the others on Earth and some are far removed. Because what I've got to explain to you is the world we have. What you term a kind of theater, they're like you see on earth with beautiful ceiling and carpeting and auditorium beautifully appointed and all that kind of thing. Also, we have great open air amphitheaters, I suppose you call them, in the natural surroundings. They'll produce all kinds of plays, great plays from the earliest times. Men and women here who have made an art and writing and producing and acting. I mean, for instance, all the great plays of Shakespeare are produced here. And what is more interesting still, newer plays, greater plays, much greater plays than any that you know of on earth. he's still writing, he's still producing, and acting too. So it's basically, so are all the great ones here.
Do they still write in the same style that they did in those days?
No, the style naturally of one advances as one gains more experience in the new system. Actually, your style changes.
Mm-hmm.
The same as I suppose the Shakespeare could have lived to be 500 years old, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
On earth, he would have naturally altered his way of writing, and he would have changed in many respects according to the time in which he lived.
Mm-hmm.
If he were living today, he would write great plays as he does here on this side. But of course, they'd be in the modern era. They'd be in the way of thought and the way of action as you expect them to be. And would appreciate him, but no doubt, of course, about it that he would have written a far greater stuff than anything that any modern writer would have written.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for instance, I go around now, sometimes I come back to us, and I go around to your theaters, and I watch the acting and the plays, and with a few exceptions, most of it's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, anyway.
Have you met Shakespeare?
I've met Shakespeare. And I can put the argument once for all, there's no doubt about it, he wrote his own play.
You don't
want to write by that. That doesn't mean to say that he didn't steal. There was some among artists of all ranks. He didn't steal ideas from others, that he didn't even sometimes use old plays and refurbish them, you know, and rewrite them. There's no doubt about that, but he didn't take it from me that what you hear in Shakespeare play is Shakespeare.
Have you met any famous singers?
Sure, I've met many a famous singer.
Captain Ferris, have you met her?
Captain Ferris, you mean?
Ferris,
yes. You're the English lady who passed some years so ago. Yeah, sure, I've met her. She's a magnificent soul.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a wonderful voice. You know, half of her charm was not only her voice, but her personality.
Yes.
She made it out in her voice.
Yeah.
I've listened to many a great artist, you know, her, but I've known them to be like wildcats backstage. Quite different to their voice. But this one you're talking about is quite different.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Lovely voice, I think.
Yeah. I have to excuse me for a moment.
Hi, Mom.
You're holding on, is he?
He's very good.
Oh,
I've been at 2 years. Yes. Anyway, I'll come and speak to you again some
other time.
Oh, good. Now, it's nice to meet people like yourselves who are very sincerely interested in the philosophy and the things that we're inhering that's going through.
Yes.
One of the reasons why I don't come back very often is I get fed up with these people who are all around asking to talk to Fanny and Charlie. I realize you're going to have proof and evidence in the beginning, but some of these people go on and on. Never seem to be satisfied.
That's what we call an outstanding session.
Well, you don't want that.
No.
Well, at least I realize.
We have something that we can do these recordings.
Well, you can play with your recordings to your friends and those are interested. And I can say with all sincerity, with his feet they shall truly find.
If I thank you, I'll
be with you. Goodbye.
Thank you, Mr. Bradley.
Well, I'm sorry to...
It's purple. Good night.